Year is 1977. James Earl Carter Jr. is sworn in as the 39th President of the United States of America. The Concorde supersonic jetliner passes a test flight out of JFK. British Airways later in the year starts regular New York to London service on the Concorde. The world's first personal computer, the Commodore PET, is shown off at the Consumer Electronics Show in Chicago. Radio Shack soon follows and introduces the TRS Micro computer system for home use. The first execution after the reintroduction of the death penalty in the U.S. happens with the execution of Gary Gilmore by firing squad in Utah.
And that's interesting.
1977.
Yeah, that's 1977. Like, that's late.
By firing
squad. For a firing
Amazing.
Squad?
What did this guy do?
I think he killed two random people. It was two random acts of violence. He killed two different people separately within the course of a year or two out in Utah, in the suburbs of Utah, whatever. But, yeah, found guilty, and he was awaiting on death row, and they reintroduced the death penalty and then took him out back and put him in front of a firing squad. Yeah. It's late, dude.
You killed 77.
That's a man.
77, dude. It's late.
You killed two random people now. You could still be out on bail by the end of the day.
It's true.
It's possible.
10,000 bonds.
Continuing, for the first time ever in you've recorded history,
yeah,
there is a recorded snowfall in Miami, Florida. Ooh. Rocky wins Best Picture at the Academy Awards. Chuck E. Cheese Pizza Arcade opens its first location in San Jose, California. Led Zeppelin plays their last U.S. concert in California at the Oakland Coliseum, where a brawl between the band and the promoter staff ensued, resulting in John Bonham, receiving assault charges. The shuttle Enterprise makes its first flight on August 12th, ushering in a new age of space exploration.
Sweet.
4 days later, the King, Elvis Presley,
dies
at home on August 16th.
Talking about the King.
4 days after the shuttle Enterprise. Interesting. Yeah. New York City suffers a major blackout in July of that year, leading to a citywide looting and arson. Later that summer, on August 10th, Son of Sam David Berkowitz is finally arrested. So interesting.
You stay
classy. Yeah, I've talked to, interesting year for New York. Yeah, I've talked to people about that summer. In New York, people who were alive then or who were teenagers then or in their 20s then, they were like, it was a really crazy summer. Like, I've talked to, you know, both men and women who were in their 60s or 70s, and they remember, like, their girlfriends dyeing their hair because they thought that Son of Sam was going after just blonde women, so they would dye their hair brown, whatever. Like, and they all recalled the blackout and how they were just like, it was...
How long was the blackout?
It was literally only 24 hours or something like that, but there was so much looting that went on in the city.
Damn.
And kind of like the Bronx is burning comes out of that whole year, that whole summer was just a really intense summer for New York City, yeah.
I mean,
well,
if
you
that
can take
happen again. The city's back to exactly
well,
how
it did.
Well, no,
what happened
I mean,
in 04?
It happened
like
in 04. There's a blackout
for like 10 days.
For like, I don't think it was 10 days.
Not in the city.
Not in the city. In the city, it was, I think it was a full 24 hours.
Was it in 04? I thought it was longer
that
than that.
It happened in 04, but it was
04,
longer on the island.
I think it was 24
yeah.
hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was longer on the island. It was longer
oh, yeah. I remember
in different
that
parts of the East Coast because
yeah.
it was like from Canada down, right?
It
was
yeah,
a huge
it was the
blackout.
Whole like Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah, it was the whole Eastern Seaboard, yeah.
I thought the city was out for longer than 24 hours.
No,
though.
I think it was only 24 hours.
Is that from a solar flare, or was it just like...
I don't know what it was.
It was some kind of like transfer station
it
or
was,
something.
Yeah, right.
Because the whole grid is so connected
yeah.
that like one or two transfer stations went down at the same time, and the whole thing went out.
I think they realized in 04, they were like, yeah, we better reroute yeah. the power.
Well,
you
could take your mind off of all of the stuff happening in 77 by going to see Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which opens in theater and... You know, because it's pretty popular.
Yeah, it becomes pretty
as a movie,
popular.
You know.
As long as there's power.
It's only 24 hours.
Just kidding.
Also, Lockheed starts up its stealth project with the first flight of HAV Blue,
oh, God,
the precursor to the F-117A
Nighthawk.
Jesus.
Yes, well.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's back in 77. That's pretty advanced.
Yeah. Well, the Nighthawk was a crazy airplane.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It's still... Like, it flew so many combat missions,
mm-hmm.
it's still never been detected
mm-hmm.
by enemy radar. Finally, in 1977, the great Stern Electronics, Inc., is founded after the Stern family buys the financially troubled Chicago Coin, who had been making pinball and electromech arcade games since 1932.
Yeah, 1932.
In Chicago.
They're not the first ones.
What is the first?
I think the first one, the first company to create the first pinball in America is, I believe, Gottlieb in 1930.
Okay. Was that just one of those bar top ones?
Huh?
Was that just one of those bar top little ones?
Yeah. But it was it was a legit pinball.
It was a coin op pinball.
It was like the precursor to everything we know that is pinball.
Yeah.
In terms of electromech, yeah.
Stern starts out by just rebranding to Chicago Coin pinballs, which were Stampede and Rawhide.
I can look those up for you real quick if you can show you guys.
But sales start to pick up for Stern in 78 and 79. They made another large acquisition when they took control of a jukebox company, Seberg.
Yeah.
Which is another pretty big company for jukeboxes.
So that's the Stampede pinball in 1977.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when they take over...
Typical 70s pinball.
Then when they take over... Then when Stern acquires Seberg, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean,
you
that's...
You know, that's huge.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful pinball.
For that time, you know?
What about Rawhide? Is that licensed from the show?
You know, I don't think so. Let me look.
Okay.
Well, the show was out before the 70s, though.
Yeah, no, I know. It's an old show by the 70s.
Yeah, it's an old show, but it could have been licensed.
Rawhide is a horrible name for a game.
I mean, a lot of these that were named after things, and Stern was like this, and Williams was like this as well. It's like, you know, if they couldn't license it.
They just took the name.
They would switch the name a little bit. I think there's a Beatles pinball, and I think it was either Stern or it was a Williams, and they obviously couldn't get the Beatles license, right? So they just call it the Fab Four, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The Fab
I think
Four,
I've seen
that
one.
Was the pinball.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, four guys looked like the Beatles were on the on the marquee light, on the translate.
No, it's not the Beatles. It's just it's just four guys.
Yeah.
It's just four
Fab
unrelated
four
musical musicians.
Big Fab Four guy. Here, you know?
Do you have a Fab Four tattoo on you? Nice.
Yes, it does.
Also... They enter the video game market, the arcade video game market,
who knows?
With a Space Invaders clone from Konami. I guess they were just publishing this game from Konami.
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking at right now?
Called Astro Invader.
Yeah, we can take a look at it right now. I can just show you guys it. It's literally a Space Invaders clone.
Oh. Yeah.
That's all it is.
I mean, it looks interesting because it has the... like rows that you can see the rows better and the rows don't move.
Yeah.
Which probably isn't as fun as Space Invaders because it's not as hard.
Yeah.
But it...
Connect 4 means Space Invaders.
Yeah. It does look like Connect 4.
Yeah.
Although nothing happens, I guess, if you get all five, if you get four in a row or whatever. Apparently...
Yeah, there is a cool little tip. There is a cool little note about this game.
Apparently, Astro Invader is a cabinet that can be seen in the Tom Petty music video for You Got Lucky.
Yeah.
Where Tom Petty pushes the cabinet over and lets it crash to the floor.
Dude, he literally just...
Was it actually
a
cab?
It's Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and it's supposed to be set in the future, and I don't know, they go into this like garage, and there's all this equipment there, and there's an Astro Invader arcade cabinet there.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, Tom Petty gets mad at it and he just
kicks
it
over.
And he just tosses this perfectly good cabinet onto its side in the middle of the video.
Nice.
It's just weird.
Nice.
Where was Stern located?
Chicago.
Chicago? They're Tri-Town. They're Chicago.
Double trucking.
Now, Astro Invader isn't a success.
No.
But it brings them into the arcade market.
Yep.
And they would follow it up with an absolute classic called Berserk.
Wow.
Yep.
So they make this, then they make Berserk.
Straight to Berserk.
Yeah. Which, then they go straight to Berserk.
Quite an upgrade.
Yeah.
What year is Berserk? Is that 78?
80 or 81.
Oh, was it 80?
I think so. Let me see.
You might be right. I always think it's earlier.
80.
Okay, 1980.
It's
80. So a couple of years later.
Yeah.
Berserk. We've done an episode on Berserk.
Is that
true?
Yeah, okay. We have. We've done a whole episode on Berserk.
Fantastic game. Just amazing.
It
you
is.
Got Evil
it
Otto
is.
Yelling at
so
you.
Good.
Yeah. You got all the robots calling you a chicken.
It's one of those games that just stands, it's just stood the test of time.
It's great.
You know.
You got the joystick.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great joystick on the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy that we now have a Berserk in
there. Yeah, I am too.
In the collection. Yeah. I love that game. They also released a game called The End in 1980.
Yeah.
Which Minecraft. I've never heard of.
Yeah, I know. First thing that came to mind was Minecraft.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh.
I don't know. 1980?
I don't know. Maybe it's inspired.
Yeah, maybe maybe it's inspired by this. Who knows? I want to see some gameplay first before I make a decision.
I'll get right now, real quick.
Remember the first time I played The End? There's a dragon there.
I don't think I've ever played it. So on our, like, on our Berserk J-Rock board, or no, on a different J-Rock board, or one of the...
Yeah, it's not on the Berserk.
Other boards... They have...
The Berserk one has the Frenzy.
The End.
On it.
This is it. It's a It looks like a Galaga clone to me.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Is what it looks like. It's cool. It is
it
what
looks
it is.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It almost looks like that Ladybug game on the ColecoVision that we have up there.
Yeah, Ladybug. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now, next year, so that's 1980... which is Berserk. The next year, they come out with Scramble.
Yep.
1981, which...
Good old Scramble.
I love that game.
I love that game, too, and I just think that you guys all worked so hard to basically bring ours back from the dead out of nothing. You know, we originally had the game in the collection when we closed years ago. I sold it off, and it was one of those games that I just... immediately missed once we sold it off. And we've been kind of doing that. We've been kind of like finding the games that we've sold off and just kind of got like gotten redoing them back, whatever. But this, you know, we started with a yellow cabinet.
We started with a black cabinet.
We started with... No.
What color was it?
No, we started with a yellow cabinet. Then we had made it pink. Then we went back to... Stern blue? Yellow. We took a chip off the back, and Zach went and got
It was
a paint match over Lowe's or Depot,
wasn't
whatever.
Wasn't it blue at one point? It could just
no.
No, it was pink.
And
no,
then as soon as Zach put the first like couple of coats on it, like you could see it was like this perfect match
it
of that
great.
That Stern Yellow cabinet.
What kind of, do you know what cab that was when we got it originally?
It was just an empty... yellow Stern cab.
Oh, you just
so,
bought it
which
empty.
Means
okay.
I thought immediately it was a it would have been a Scramble.
Yeah.
Immediately.
That's possible.
Yeah.
And somehow it became a WWF in the interim.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
I just like we said, we wanted a Scramble back, so I was just like,
well, that's another one. That
okay, let's build a Scramble. You know.
W.
And now it has the we've got the Stern ashtray.
Yes.
On there. It's
yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah,
it has
yeah,
the
yeah.
official ashtray.
So, yeah. So I had found, so I'd been searching for a coin. It was like the last bit of it. Like, Chris and Sean got all the graphics into it, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think Zach did the stenciling on the side because it was just a spray paint stencil.
I did the stencil. Zach did the base paint. Zach and I did the stencil.
Like all of us had a hand in that.
Yeah.
Everyone
we might have
hand.
All helped
Jake,
with that.
Control
Jake
board.
Did the entire board.
I was home that day.
Sean and I made
Sean
the.
We had
you,
to cut into the cabinet
yeah,
and like,
yeah.
hit
Sean
the plexi
you
to fit.
Sean, you made a control panel.
Well, and
made
we made the control panel
right,
of like galvanized steel.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Because what if. No one listens to this podcast, but if you do listen to it, you have to realize that Stern early on, they didn't have a wooden control panel.
Yeah.
They had this metal steel control panel on everything.
Which, that to had be fair, a little, is really cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like
it
had
lot.
This little bend lip on it to go over, and it would meet the bezel up top and just barely cover the bezel up top where you would have the glass or the plexi for the bezel. And so, Sean and Chris, like, bent it properly at the right angle, whatever, and it just came out like super, super sweet.
We had this giant piece of galvanized steel. How did we? Oh, we cut that with
we
that
cut
giant
it with
bench
the metal
cutter. And then we bent
from
it
from like 1943.
And then I knew.
Made in Buffalo, New York.
And then I knew our friend Mike Bird had a Stern cabinet that was like roached. And so I went out to him because I needed a coin door.
Yeah.
And so I took the coin door off of his, which was an old Berserk, which was there was nothing in it. It was rotted out. But he had an ashtray on it. And I was like, yo, can I have that ashtray? And
I
he's
just
like,
want to christen that so
and he's
bad.
Like, what do you want an ashtray for? I'm like, because it's it's cool. Like it, amazing. It fits, you know, it suits it, you know? So yeah. I brought that back. You guys put that on there. Just, yeah.
It's
just
so funny. Out.
It's, you know, it's such a great game.
No. And then the other thing is, was, cause the way we have it, we have a piece of like just particle board or something under the sheet metal. Mm-hmm. Was it like that from Stern, or was it just all metal? Okay.
It was all metal because I believe that I want to say the scramble buttons were Leaf buttons, and I want to say the scramble joystick was a Leaf joystick originally.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because
I didn't want to go with it that way.
Yeah, ours are just push buttons.
Yeah.
Okay. Or just switch buttons.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, no, I really like the way our scramble turned out. The stenciling looks good.
Yep.
Yeah, it's probably one of the better looking restorations we've done.
Yeah, it looks really, really nice.
The monitor looks really good.
The monitor looks beautiful. Yeah.
Which I was kind of worried about because that monitor was a little touchy at the beginning. But I think it wasn't getting voltage or something. No, we had to put in a power supply.
Jake kind of went through it and got the right voltage on it.
And then it
popped up beautifully.
Good.
Yeah.
So it's running off of a BitKit or whatever.
Yeah, it's running off BitKit. Yeah.
You know, not my favorite, but it happens.
No, but the BitKits are, I think the BitKits are great. I love them.
Oh, well. Also, another weird thing about the monitor is that Scramble's a, it's not a vertical monitor, is it?
Yeah, it's vertical.
Yeah, okay, it's a vertical monitor.
Yeah.
So kind of weird with that weird mounting.
Vertical side-scrolling. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a vertical horizontal shooter.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
You have two buttons. You have a joystick, two buttons. You have shoot forward, and then you have drop bombs down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to refuel yourself by bombing the fuel tanks.
Yep.
Which is exactly how.
Oh, that works. That's how you refuel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to hit the fuel.
I didn't realize.
The little fuel signs with. Yeah.
Okay.
And there are six different boards with different terrain and obstacles. I don't think I've ever gotten through the first one.
I think I've gotten through the first one. I've not gotten through the second one.
Okay. Yeah. You complete each stage when you destroy the base, and then the game repeats while getting slightly more difficult. It's already starts hard.
Yeah.
And so this is a Konami game. Is this like their first big hit, even though it's not put out by them? But
yeah, so it's the game that one of the original founders of Konami attributes to Konami becoming an actual brand name throughout the world because of the international success of Stern publishing the game for them.
Okay. It doesn't say Konami any. If you just played this game, you would never know it was Konami, right? Because it doesn't say it anywhere.
Right. But when you go and you look for, let's say, an arcade shop.
Yeah.
We love those guys. We get a lot of parts from those guys. So you go get a board transfer piece.
Okay.
It'll say like Stern Konami, whatever.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
You know, yeah.
Because it's the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sells over 15,000 cabinets in a 5-month period.
Dude, that's a lot.
Stern's second highest selling arcade cabinet of all time.
Behind
is the first
what?
Berserk.
The first is Berserk.
Of course. Nice. How much did Berserk sell?
I want to say Berserk sold 20,000.
Okay.
I want to say it moved 20,000.
Okay. There's a sequel, which I've never played. Is that sequel on our BitKit?
Yeah, it's on there.
Okay, I've never looked. Super Cobra, released later in 1981.
Super Cobra's the same year. Sequel?
It's a sequel, dude. Yeah.
I never realized.
Same year, which is kind of crazy. I guess they just figured.
They just reskinned it.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
I've never. Can you pull this gameplay up? I've never seen it.
Yeah, I can.
But the sequel sells 12,000 cabinets for Stern, gives them 27,000 cabinets sold for just two games in 1981. So, the founder of Konami considers Scramble Konami's most important game.
Yeah.
Because it puts them on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's also a pretty early entry in the side-scrolling shooter genre, which hundreds of games afterwards would follow in the arcade and on the consoles.
Yes.
Apparently Gradius.
Yeah.
1985 was originally planned as a Scramble 2.
Yes.
Because that's a Konami game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it uses many of the same ideas. Okay, so this is Super Cobra. Oh, is this a like a choplifter? Oh, okay. Yeah, dude, yeah it's just a reskin.
Same game. It's just a reskin.
It's just you're flying a helicopter instead of a spaceship.
But think about it. Like, they sell another 12,000 cabins of this.
Yeah.
On top of the 15,000 they just sold for...
That I mean, that's great marketing because you're like, oh, the sequel to Scramble is out already, and it's just it's literally the same game. They just designed probably
the
three
a
more
bit
levels.
Different, you know.
Well, they probably just made three levels, three more, four more levels.
Yeah.
And then changed it to a helicopter.
Yeah.
Although you're shooting the same. You're a helicopter on like an alien planet.
Yep. But
you're still shooting the same thing.
On the BitKit, if we ever wanted to play this, we could just boot this.
Yeah.
We could just boot this to this, and it's the same button layout and everything too.
Yeah, but the original.
Yeah, the original.
The original Scramble is the classic. The classic.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about Stern, but they have some of the best sound effects.
Yeah, they do.
Because the Berserk sound effects, like when you shoot your laser in Berserk, it is the most satisfying sound.
Yes, it is.
Ever.
It is.
Same with Scramble. Scramble similar. It's just like the sounds of everything is just great.
Well, I think it was Berserk too, like at least the voice
mod. Well, Berserk has the voice.
I think it cost them like $1,000 or $2,000 a word.
Yeah, I believe that.
It only has
like a 20-word vocabulary.
Yeah,
but
it cost them like $1,000 a word to like create that.
Worth every penny.
Yeah.
Evil Otto yelling at you? Worth it. So this is... Okay. We should talk about the artwork for this because I love the artwork on the panel and stuff. But I want to talk about first the artwork on the cabinet because there isn't any. So the art or the side of the cabinet.
Yeah, well, that's not true because what
at least not on ours.
On ours is I chose to go with one of two potential stencils for that Scramble cabinet. Yeah. Now Scramble does have its own side art.
Okay.
I'll show you that, but I wanted.
Well, we just have stenciled with the Stern logo. On the side.
Right. Which,
so what?
I thought that was classic as hell.
No, I think it looks nice. What's the difference between the two?
First Scramble was this.
Okay.
See that? The pilot with the jets on top, whatever.
Yeah.
But that is probably a 2 or 3 level stencil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it's three different colors all of that.
Yeah.
And I just love the way the logo looks plain diagonal like that across the sides of the cabinet. I just think the Stern logo like that. The way we have it, which is on plenty of other Stern games.
Yeah.
I just think it's classic.
So
it's just classy.
Would Scramble have ever come with just the logo like we have it?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they all came out of the factory like what we're looking at right now or they, I mean,
because I'm just wondering like what the difference
look,
was.
You have a guy down here who has it the same way we have it.
Okay. Yeah. So what's the difference between the two? Because you choose one or the other. Was one like cheaper maybe?
I think it was for time.
Did one come out later?
Also be if you want to change the game and you want to keep it a certain cabinet, but you don't want it.
Yeah, that's true.
A certain game, but you don't want it.
If you just had the Stern logo like that up and down, then you can kit anything you want back into that cabinet.
That's true.
Anything you want.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how they sold them.
Yeah,
like,
I think
was it just a different option that you ticked in the mail order?
Probably.
Or if you bought Scramble, was it a 50-50 which one you were getting?
It could have possibly been either of those.
Okay.
Either way, I mean, that yellow definitely catches the
eye.
Oh,
it's iconic, yeah. That yellow is awesome.
It's iconic, dude. That Stern yellow. Like I said, like when Zach...
And that paint match.
When Zach did the paint match and he finished the first two coats, I was like, oh my God, that like literally looked like it came off the factory floor. It was because we had stripped it. He had no parts on it. So he could just roll the paint on real nice and evenly, and it just looked beautiful when it dried.
That was a good time.
That Home Depot paint match. Yeah. If Home Depot wants to sponsor this podcast, Home Depot paint match was amazing.
Yeah.
We should play the whole song at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, yes. So shout out to Home Depot for that paint match. Give us a call. We'll do a sponsorship. I'll do an ad read for you guys. So also, artwork on the marquee. And the bezel, it's awesome.
Yeah. So the bezel, which I just pulled up, whatever it was
that.
Oh,
yeah. That's
so
nice
we had gotten our first one from our buddy Mike. I'm not going to give his last name because he's kind of a private dude. And, you know, they started doing pinball, obviously, right? So a lot of these early arcade companies, Williams, Stern, whatever, they were doing pinball first. So you always had this very, very detailed glass, because it was like they were taking what they know from the backlit glass of the pinball and applying that to an arcade cabinet. So, and at that time, right, at that time, Zach just kind of motions to it. Everything is very, 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 at least in arcades, is very overly sexualized and hypersexualized at that point in time. So
you mean Geiger-esque?
So there's this woman alien figure with some sort of phallic object in her hand down in the lower right-hand corner of it, and I never noticed it. And Mike had pointed it out to me once we had purchased the cabinet. He's like, "Oh yeah, you know," and I was like, "Holy! Like, how the hell did we get away with it?" Like,
ah, she's singing.
It's easy to miss. He's like, because of all the colors,
right?
I think.
He's like, it was very easy to miss. He's like, and that's just, you know, the way things were, you know, were drawn back then. So, yeah, you know, super hypersexualized that time, but still, the artwork overall is really, really detailed, bright, beautiful, very
neon.
Eye-capturing neon. The marquee is very capturing. Mm-hmm. When you guys put the marquee and we got the light
color,
going,
yeah.
It was like, it's, yeah. It just, it's so attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also even the control panel.
Yeah.
It's really cool looking with that
game,
red and
dude.
Yellow.
Yeah, you're just drawn
to the
game. It's
just that red and yellow. It's like the, you know, it's like the McDonald's colors. It just pops in when you see it on the side of the road or whatever. So this was another conversion kit for Scramble. Right, which is Moon War.
Yeah, so
weird thing about it. Yeah. So the Scramble is a like ambidextrous layout, so you have only two buttons that do anything, but you have four buttons on the control panel.
Yeah.
You have two on the left and two on the right.
Yeah.
So the idea is that you can play left or right-handed with the joystick, right?
Yes.
Moon War turns this into a four-button game.
Yeah, and then there's what I mentioned in the notes there, which you're going to get to.
Yeah, you're going to have to explain this to me because I'm just going to read this, but
yeah.
The joystick, you change out the control panel, so you have four buttons, a hyper, whatever. In the middle of the control panel, right under your vector director control wheel, which is essentially the joystick,
right.
So the control wheel or roller moves the player right and left on the faster than normal side-scrolling screen. It's like a left and right only joystick, but it's packaged as a roller mechanism.
Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
So it's like a disc.
Okay.
It's like a rolling disc side to side.
It's like an Arkanoid controller, but stuck on its side.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like the only game I've ever seen use something like that. I mean, it may have been, I think Major Havoc maybe had it.
I'm
or something.
It went with something like that because then when you go to replace the game,
that's what I'm saying.
Right, you
only
have
it for that.
So when they kitted it, I think they sent the game.
You have
the
to
graphics,
send the whole control panel.
I think they sent you a control panel.
Yeah, they must have
populated.
Yeah,
and you just pop it into your.
Yeah, because otherwise you
cabinet.
Have to cut new holes in the.
Trying to find another picture. I'm trying to visualize. I can't really see that from here.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to visualize what you mean.
No, that looks cool. There's a picture of a black Stern cabinet with the red Stern logo. That looks cool.
Yeah, those were
it's like an alternate color.
We had one, and I gave it back to Mike, our friend Mike, because he put a Lost Tomb in it, which is a really cool game, which we'll talk about. Which we will get to.
Yeah, this is just weird looking as a control panel.
That's the same picture.
Yeah, I'm guessing. It's just like, I guess, a rotary dial or variable resistor, but you flip it on its side.
Dial?
Yeah, like a variable resistor, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Is it
well,
like
the Arkanoid controller? I'm guessing.
Trying to picture it. Is it
Tetris.
Similar to like what's on Tempest?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Just turn it on its side.
Yeah.
On its side.
They call the control panel
so
layout.
So that you like a
they
tire.
They call it a roller. They call it a roller. It's
so
left and right
it rolls
left and
left
right.
And right only.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
yeah. So it runs like a wheel.
That's weird.
Dude, it's
kind of
like Defender, but a roller.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's weird as hell, dude.
Yeah. I kind of
they mount
this
halfway into the panel and halfway out.
I think so.
Interesting.
Yeah. I kind of want to play this now.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like I feel like that mechanism could be so easily broken.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I want to play it. I don't want it in the arcade.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Because fixing that would be a nightmare.
Roller wheels can get real annoying sometimes.
Yeah, fixing that can be a nightmare. And imagine all the stuff that's just going to fall into it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, because it's like, it's just like a wheel.
We always had that issue with, what's that other game that has a rotor wheel?
Arkanoid?
No.
Tempest?
No.
I don't know.
Brick Breaker.
Oh, Breakout?
Breakout.
Yeah. So, well, that's like, yeah. What, 50 years of...
I know. 50 years of use.
That's gameplay from Moon War.
Abuse.
Oh, okay. Beautiful.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's... I don't know about this game.
Look at the, some phallic games
not grabbing me.
I want to say it wasn't that popular, because I want to say, like...
It doesn't look that good.
I've never played one, and it's actually... I don't think I even saw one at Galloping Ghost.
It gives me the color. Yeah. The coloring of it gives me Castlevania meets space vibes.
Yeah.
It's very like brown.
Yeah, very brown, burgundy.
There was. Did you play it at Galloping Ghost?
Which? What'd you play? Moon War?
Yeah, he said he played Moon War. Galloping Ghost. Okay.
I don't remember seeing it.
Yeah. No, it's very like brown and red, and all the spaceships are just orange.
Yeah.
Which just kind of seems painful.
Well, they also
this is like head down over Vietnam, but it's just mud, no trees.
Looks great.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will not be adding it anytime soon.
No.
Never.
One game I think we maybe should add to the collection is a 1981 release. I know you have a different one queued up, but I want to talk about Amidar, which is like a Donkey Kong. It's like Donkey Kong meets, like, I don't know, maybe like
Pac-Man.
Whoa,
is that?
No, that's something different.
Oh, I was going to say, that was cool looking, whatever that was.
It's dope as hell. We'll get to that. That one. We're going to get to that one.
I feel like, I don't know.
All
I feel like
think of,
this is a little late for Amidar.
With this name, I think of Padme Amidala. I know it's not even remotely related. But
you really like this one, huh?
I think it's a good game. I think it's a good Donkey Kong clone. It's probably like one of my favorites.
Oh, Donkey?
Yes.
But it plays weird.
Yeah, but that's why I like it.
All right, talk about it.
So basically, we're looking at gameplay. You're controlling the ape, who I think's name is Amidar. Go figure that one out.
Okay.
But what you have to do is kind of like almost like Harambe's that game. Kicks or whatever,
yeah,
Quicks,
kicks. Yeah, yeah.
Where you have to like square in each of the little panels,
mm-hmm.
right? So you have to walk in a complete square around each of the panels and color them in.
Yeah.
And you have to get all of them, you know, before you die to complete the level.
Like, you ever play those mini games where you kind of draw out a painting?
Yeah.
The scissors that go around.
Yeah.
Same concept.
Or like, again,
it has elements of Pac-Man to it for sure.
Yeah, it's a little Pac-Man-y. Again, it's like Kicks, which comes out later, where you have to square in the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Or that other one with
the terrible snake.
No. No, the game that we have in the arcade.
Nibbler.
Nibbler.
Yeah. They have
another elements of Nibbler to it.
They have another one that's kind of a Nibbler clone.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we're going to get to now in a second.
But I don't know. I just like this game. I think it's cool.
Right.
I think it's fun. I think there's a whole backstory where, like, you have to paint, like, you're painting a house or something ridiculous.
I think we can get it in the BitKit.
Okay.
If you're that desperate to play it.
Well, I just want to play it.
We can load into a BitKit.
Because I played it on the 2600.
Yeah.
He played it on the Atari 2600,
the greatest console ever made.
After he put down Blackjack.
Yes, right. That was a different day. Different day. What was the other thing I was going to say about Amidar?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll come back to that one.
Okay, we'll come back to it.
Also kind of reminds me of Burger Time.
Okay.
Yeah, just because of the way you kind of play it.
Okay.
Flipping Boigas.
Yeah. Which we have to get Burger Time.
Boigas.
I know.
I will release my desire for Amidar.
This ad is for Moon War.
So, yeah.
This is a classic in the arcade age history here.
This ad, the Ultimate Moonshot, I remember seeing this ad. So this ad is 1981, 82, but I was probably, I saw it first in 88, whatever, and I like, I don't know. I was young. I had a crush on this chick.
He was going through puberty at the time, folks.
But again, we had this overly sexualized thing that has nothing to do with the game, where they hired this attractive girl, who's in bent over the
orange
cabinet,
orange booty shorts.
In orange booty shorts, made to
crop
I think
top.
She's I think she's made to look like a Hooters girl.
Oh, I can see it.
See
yeah,
it?
I can see it. Yeah.
Orange
yeah.
booty shorts, the Moon War logo on the back of the shirt, big letters. And we see nothing of gameplay until you turn over the ad and then you see just a track screen.
Hey, Google, where is the Moon War girl now?
So this goes back
what
to.
What did you do there, Sean? Huh?
I think we tried to look her up. this goes back to, you know, listen, late 70s, early 80s, just like the thing with marketing, with everything, and of course also with the arcade was sex sells. Because the arcade at that time is a, think of it, it's a male-dominated subculture. So they're selling this game to
bunch of horned-up teens.
Right. Men in their teens in their early 20s.
Yeah. Also, just go back to the gameplay for a second, or the other side of it or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right? That's not even, you said it wasn't a track screen. It's a high score screen.
Yeah, it's a high score screen.
there's nothing, you know,
like
nothing about the
we've
game.
We've got one small snippet right over here of yeah. the, of a screenshot.
Wait, which how did we talk about this Moon War ad and not mention the caption on the bottom, which is the ultimate moonshot?
The ultimate moonshot.
You said that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, also, I
it's
mean,
it's got nothing to do with the game.
Well, also,
this girl has nothing to do with the game.
They're still capitalizing, like you said, 77, 4 years after. They're still capitalizing on the space race.
Of course they are.
Right? Space shuttle, all of that stuff.
Of course they are, dude. Of course they
so,
are. But they're also capitalizing on these big sex sells. And like look, I don't know where the Moon War girl is now. I mean, and you don't even know if she's...
Moon War was the game we were just watching, too, right? Mm-hmm. The brown... Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was going to say, advertising doesn't make the game any better.
The game's horrendous.
The
right,
game still
right,
looks...
Exactly, yeah.
Still don't want to play this game.
Like, this game's so bad, we're going to have to just...
We can't even show any gameplay of it.
But the Moon War girl, I definitely...
The only gameplay we're going to have is the high score screen.
The Moon War girl, I definitely had a crush on her when I was like 8, 9 years old. So, fair continue enough. On, mm-hmm. Christopher.
Let's talk about... Should we talk about turtles? I don't want to talk about turtles.
You don't have to.
This is probably... Is this another Pac-Man clone? Can you pull this up?
Turtles?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
Probably is.
Just by turtles. Reading your one-sentence description, this sounds like a Pac-Man clone.
Yeah, I think it is.
Turtles.
Yeah. It's just called Turtles.
It's just called Turtles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Toidles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's amazing.
I swear I thought you meant Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles in Time. No. No.
I was like, I don't think that's Stern.
This is all it is. Pac-Man clone.
Oh, yeah. That's a Pac-Man clone. And not a very good-looking
one. Not a very good-looking one at all.
For 1981. Yeah.
Next game.
Next game. Strategy X.
So, yeah, this is interesting.
So, programmed like Scramble and Super Cobra, but the player is a tank instead of a spaceship.
Right.
And it's from a top-down perspective.
Oh.
Interesting thing. Speaking of more advertising, Stern apparently just went crazy in their advertising. Yeah. Because Strategy X is advertised with... military figures that resemble World War II soldiers and not the Allied soldiers.
See, so you're getting
in World War II.
No, they have Allied and
oh
yeah. So I'm gonna show you that. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
The
other guys.
Yeah, the other guys.
Okay, let's see. Strategy X.
It'll blow your mind.
Oh,
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah.
I mean, on the right, that looks like Patton.
Yeah.
On the left.
Oh.
Looks like someone else.
Oh, no, kind of looks like M. Bison from Street Fighter.
It does.
Looks like somebody else. Anyway,
what?
That's the arcade flyer.
Oh, I have no idea.
But here's the front of the arcade flyer, or back of it.
Looks like a Gustav to me.
Again, no gameplay.
No.
You're just seeing in a track screen?
That's
or not even. That's not even, that's a high score screen again.
Yeah.
Or something.
That's the insert coin screen, for God's sakes, dude.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, again...
You could get a poster on eBay for $20
like
though.
A Scramble. It's kind of like they're cloning themselves.
Yeah, it's the same game again.
You know, same game again.
Yeah.
Just top down.
Just top down.
You just top down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you even, is this even two buttons? Do you have like bombs or something? Or is this just one button?
I don't know. We're calling that a tank?
We're not.
Okay.
Stern is.
They called this a tank?
They decided to use that. Sprite
like
as a tank.
Why is it rotating?
They couldn't just make it square with like
Stern's calling that
corners.
A tank.
Like
it looks more
slightly
like a helicopter.
Discolored corners. That would have been more of a tank than this.
Helicopter.
Yeah. Not even this is
you know what I'm picturing here? It makes no sense. Paperboy. I feel like I'm looking at Paperboy right now.
It always comes back to Paperboy with you, though.
We always come back to Paperboy.
I love Paperboy.
Every episode, we're coming back to Paperboy.
Paperboy's a good game.
Sean's like, so this is like Paperboy.
Paperboy with guns. Paperboy. Yeah. Paperboy existed.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Jungler.
Yeah.
Is another Pac-Man clone.
Yeah. So Jungler is, you know, because it's I'll show you guys. Read on.
We're getting further down the list, right?
Read on.
Okay.
I just want to say one thing.
Yes. So,
Chris and his Atari, it's blackjack, but Sean, everything.
It's always Paperboy. It's all Paperboy.
Dude, Paperboy is,
go ahead,
Paperboy
read on,
is reign supreme.
It's an interesting mix of a Pac-Man type game with Nibbler and Centipede mixed in. Nibbler's a Pac-Man game, though.
So like, it's a maze game, but you're this white segmented snake, and you have to go after the rest of the segmented snakes that are in there. But if you like, you
we got
shoot off one of the segments, then they can start going fast, like the centipede goes fast.
This is a Nibbler clone.
But also, it reminds you a lot of Nibbler.
Yeah.
It's exactly like Nibbler.
So what happens?
You just
when
have
the
enemy
cross?
Centipedes.
That you have to kill them.
Oh, you have to hit
but
the
then
snakes
you get
head on.
Through, like Pac-Man. I mean,
yeah. You have to hit the snakes head on, though.
This is not cool.
You have to, because if you hit them from the side, then they can run around fast.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Right. Then
like
they kind of break
like
apart.
Like you do in Centipede when they break apart.
Yeah.
This is kind of neat.
Yeah. This is a cool looking game.
This is like Nibbler and Slither.io.
Yeah, I've never played. Yeah.
You guys ever play Slither.io?
Yeah. That's funny.
Slither.io.
I used to play that a lot here when I was bored.
Uh-huh. Armored Car. They made a lot of maze games, is what I'm noticing.
Oh, dude, they made...
Because, you know, it's 1981. What other games are you going to make? Well, what other games are you going to make?
Also,
Pac-Man is the biggest game of all time.
It's going to be a Pac-Man clone, dude. Armored Car.
Is this Pac-Man plus Rally X?
Did I have any notes on it?
It's a maze game where a player must drive a car through a city from a top-down view which scrolls right to left. Some intersections are marked with directions that must be followed. The players can pick up money to deliver to banks while avoiding criminals by dropping sawhorses in the road. This sounds great. Points are scored by number of city blocks traveled, picking up money, and blowing up robbers.
What are you dropping?
In practicality...
Sawhorses.
Oh.
Like this is gameplay. Yeah. In practicality,
again, you have to refuel.
That is
so hard
to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every single game that they do, you have to refuel, right?
Somebody just had an obsession with getting gas at Stern.
Yeah.
They just loved going to the gas station.
Think about it.
What year was this?
This is the 70s.
Again,
all right. Yeah.
So they're paying. Yeah. Right.
85 miles to the gallon.
Yeah. But gas was, 74 cents a gallon.
It's the same thing, though.
Well, yeah.
You're talking the same thing, late 70s.
Yeah.
Japanese cars.
I don't know. A lot of wars around this time that seemed to be revolving around
boys. I find this super hard to look at.
It's so hard to look at.
This reminds me, has anyone...
play this at all.
Has anyone ever played... I think it's the Ghostbusters game on the NES.
Yeah.
Terrible game. It looks like this, though. The overworld screen.
Really? It's like gritty like...
It looks like trash.
Because you have to, like...
There's also a mini game on the Toy Story for Sega Genesis where you have to drive little RC cars. It kind of has the same layout.
Really?
Yep.
Is that the Ghostbusters Genesis game?
No, Toy Story.
Toy Story. Okay.
Is it top down, Jose?
Kind of.
No. Like, I played that as well.
Is it like third person? Is it third person?
Yeah.
Oh, it's third person.
I have a PS1. That game's fantastic.
That's all right.
Let me talk to you about.
So what's next?
Fight.
We already covered Amidar.
We already covered Amidar.
For 3 hours.
What do we got next?
Let's
go into some of the other games.
Well,
what was
that
cool looking game we skipped past before?
Do you want to talk about Lost? No. Do you want to talk about Lost Tomb?
Lost Tomb. Our friend Mike, I just gave him back the Blackstone cabinet with the red on it, and he was just. It took him a long time to get everything together, but he had this board set. And this game is dope.
That is a nice looking game. Oh, this is a cool looking game.
So this, they kind of took the best parts of Tutankham, which is a game we will talk about soon.
Yeah, it's kind of like Robotron, actually.
They put Robotron into it. And you're going through this Egyptian pyramid collecting
also kind of
keys
berserk.
And treasures. Yeah.
Yeah. Not the Berserk sound effects, though.
No.
I want the...
Well, it's like, they took Berserk and Tutankhamun and they mashed it up. But this is a super rare game.
Oh, that's
but
why, because I love Tutankhamun.
Yeah.
Well, Tutankhamun's fantastic.
This is a cool-looking game.
Yeah.
We need this game. This is a nice one.
I like it. I think we get on a big kit. It's a
probably.
It's a black Stern.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Stern's in red, buddy.
Yeah, you're right.
It's single joystick buttons.
I believe so.
Probably a Berserk cab.
Oh yeah, true.
Four-way joystick.
The center joystick
button on either side.
Put them back to back. That'd be pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
I believe.
All right.
No, I think that'd be cool.
Thank you, Chris. At least someone responded.
I got you.
Huh? What'd you say?
Nothing.
It looks like a joystick button.
Dual.
Wow.
Dual. Left, right.
Just like Robotron.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When is this game?
82.
And when is Robotron? 2084, right?
yeah.
Is it 84, actually? Hold on, now I have to look this up.
This game is 82.
No, I know. I'm saying when is Robotron?
Far better than Robotron.
No, it's dual joystick. Look at it. Dual joystick.
Oh, Robotron is 1982.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, so the same
by
year.
William. Yeah,
this came out the same
by
year.
Williams.
This looks like miles better than Robotron, though, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The graphics are better.
Dude, the graphics better. For 82?
They're way
more. This is a freaking cool game.
Seems way more developed.
Yeah. I'm supposed to head over to Mike soon, head out there. So I'm going to take a couple of you guys. We'll go out there and we'll play this. He just finished his.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Look at that one picture with the right up above, the cab.
Yeah.
The black cab with the gold trim.
Well, also, that is a cool-looking marquee.
I thought you were going to mention Mr. Burns.
So, again, Lost Tomb. Obviously, we can see from the two different pictures, right?
Yeah.
We can see it was a kit, right? So you could put it into a Stern cabin, or you could put it into... whatever else came in the black, you know, like
is that like an alternate colorway, like the black with the gold
that's
lettering?
I think somebody sketched this up.
Oh, I was gonna say, because that is cool. Okay,
that's not a thing.
What about the one with
I don't even think that's a real Stern logo.
What about the one with Mr. Burns? Is that like a custom?
Yeah.
No, that's just some weird.
Yeah.
That's a weird edit for someone's YouTube thumbnail.
Well, yeah, yeah. I know, but like, the actual cabinet.
The actual cabinet.
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah, click on that.
Oh, it's
yeah,
like,
that
it's
is
like
cool
a baby
looking.
Blue.
You know, I don't know. That's actually interesting.
What is copyright?
That is pretty cool.
What is this game?
This is Lost.
This is Lost.
This is Lost. Oh. This is what we're talking about.
Somebody just playing it at home.
Yeah, but it looks like he's a prequel.
I think probably somebody did that.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, it's possible that that actually is real side art for it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
But
yeah, Lost Tomb is a dope game. Seriously.
They also made Tutankhamun. Is that not true?
They also made Tutankhamun, which is one of my favorite games they've ever made.
Yeah,
I feel like I have
fantastic.
Not played. I'm in Sunday. Maybe I'll play it
Dude,
on
it's
Sunday.
Such
it's
a
really
great
for a little bit.
Crawler.
Thanks, Chris, for that.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It feels RPG-y. Feels like an RPG.
Dual joystick again.
Like an early RPG type
is it?
Game.
Yeah. Really?
It's dual joystick, dude.
I feel like I don't pay attention to Tutankhamun for whatever reason.
Right.
Which then you would kit Lost Tomb into a Tutankhamun cabinet
with
a dual joystick.
Can
is
you
it like Black Tiger?
Call,
kind of?
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever played Black Tiger, actually. And we have two of them.
Yeah, right.
Can you recall if we saw Lost Tomb at Galloping Ghosts, James?
I can't recall. Jake, can you recall?
It doesn't
Zach?
Ring a bell.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Don't we technically have three Black Tigers?
No.
Because don't we have another cabinet that was a Black Tiger?
No.
Okay.
We fixed one up.
This is Tutankhamun.
Well, I know we have a second control panel for Black Tiger.
So, interesting enough, it's supposed to be obviously Tutankhamun, but they actually couldn't fit it on the marquee, so they cut it.
So Tutankhamun.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's the story.
Tutankhamun is a cooler name, I think.
That's the story that is out there.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, just early dungeon crawler, dude.
It's like puzzle dungeon crawler type thing. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, what's that? Spelunky. It looks like Spelunky, except older.
Oh, kind of. A little bit. A little bit.
Those younger viewers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
But you're collecting jewels, treasures, and
keys. It's very Mario-esque to me.
Through the next door. to get the next section of the map.
Super Mario Bros., but...
Yeah.
You have a map very much like a Zelda-esque map as well.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's... This well, is like super
Zelda,
early.
Zelda 2, almost.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah.
Way earlier, 82.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah.
Fantastic game.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like... Almost it would be a console game.
Yeah,
it's just unfortunate because
like
our
home computers or something.
Tutankham has had issues for years.
Yeah,
We've rebuilt that board like twice, I think.
Yep.
So honestly, watching the gameplay like go on for this long, it really does look like just an older Spelunky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like one of those like Commodore 64 or like old computer like
it reminds
dungeon
me a lot
crawler
of,
RPGs.
It reminds me a lot of Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Like for Super Nintendo, right? Or Nintendo.
Well, NES.
NES, yeah.
But this game is hard as hell because
it is hard.
Your fire is
trying
just
to steal
right
your
left.
Quarters. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't fire up and down.
Yeah.
Oh. So this game is hard, dude.
Yeah, you kinda have to position yourself that if you're getting tracked by an enemy or whatever, you have to position yourself in a horizontal hallway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you're screwed.
And your attack is the second joystick?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like I always looked at it and I just assumed it was a two-player.
Nope.
Because I never realized that it was a...
Dual joystick, baby.
Dual joystick.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
What's next?
There's two games that I've never heard of that were apparently released by Tego Electronics.
Yeah.
Who I've also never heard of.
Yeah.
We have Calypso and Anteater.
Yeah.
Are either
Calypso
of those...
Calypso makes great drinks.
Not the same Calypso.
Probably different.
I feel like they're kind of crap.
Okay. Who's Tego Electronics?
They gave him Tego Electronics. They were just a licensing company. So Stern sent those two games over to them. I feel like both of them are kind of crap. I feel like Anteater is on the BitKit 1. It comes preloaded on there. But, I mean, this is Calypso.
Okay.
I don't even know what the hell the point of this game is.
You're a fish?
Oh,
are you
it's
the
a,
diver?
It's a, yeah, you're
oh,
the diver.
Oh, it looks like a fish.
Yeah, no, you're the diver, and you have to kill the fish, avoid
the
fish.
The
I have no idea.
And come back up.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Why is it called Calypso?
So with an eye.
Again, it's a weird game. I see the challenge of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I just don't see the appeal.
Yeah, it's not very.
Yeah. What's next?
If you're a Salt Life type of person, you know, maybe.
Oh, I want to talk about this one.
You don't want to talk about Anteater?
I'm talking about this guy.
Puyan?
Puyan.
Bring it up.
Or Puyan.
Puyan?
Puyan you.
So
what is this?
So, like, those are wolves down there.
Oh, I played
wolves.
This on the 151 cart for Game Boy.
And you're a pig. And you're shooting them down so they get to the top of the tree there and then walk over and eat the rest of the pigs?
Except the one I had on my bootleg cartridge, the people were on the other side.
Yeah.
That might have been the NES version or something, because I'm betting this was on the NES.
I think it was on the NES, bro.
Really? Then they cloned a game that looks almost exactly like this. Not
I don't
Balloon
think I've ever
Fight.
Seen this game before.
They did clone a game like this.
Yeah, it's not Balloon Fight, but it's something like that. Yeah, no, this is one of those games that's on every like bootleg.
It looks like a flash game.
I don't remember
fake
the
fake console that
like
you buy
game,
at like Walmart.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember the enemies being like crocodiles or whatever. I remember them being like rats.
Yeah.
But now are the pigs are operating this. What are they operating? What are we calling that? A crane?
It's like an elevator.
Like a pulley.
An elevator pulley. That
it's a manual elevator, yeah. I mean, the animation's kind of cool. You have the pigs up top doing the thing.
But they can also, if the pigs go down, they can also attack the house. The wolves. They can attack the house where the other pigs are. Down the bottom.
Okay. So, okay. And then you have to send the pigs up. What's the ladder for?
It looks
does it
like
do
there's
anything?
Numbers on the left and right side. The flags at the top. The pigs are, I think... Yeah. See the flags? So you have to dwindle down their numbers before your numbers go.
Yeah.
From what it looks like.
Okay.
They just start with a lot more.
Yeah. That's,
So,
that's interesting.
weird, weird game.
Yeah.
Really weird game.
No, it looks great. 1983? I mean, what else are you going to play? Tutankham? Come on.
Hey. Watch their butt.
So, I want to pull up... Dude, the artwork for this thing is just weird. Look at the side art.
Looks like a Nintendo cab.
Yeah, well, it looks like a Nintendo cab.
Yeah.
But it looks almost like early Disney art.
Again, yeah, kind of. If I can find something that's decent.
Like the early
Disney cartoons. There's pink on the... There's pink on the marquee, like very attractive marquee art, you know, like...
Well, and it's pink a baby trim? Blue.
Yeah.
Like pink trim.
Yeah.
Baby blue.
That's
the
marquee. That's dope looking, dude.
Yeah.
It's interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why are they all wearing, like, bibs like they're ready to eat?
Because they're pigs, so they're elite.
Well, but the wolf looks like he's going to eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the wolf should be
wearing
a bib.
The wolf wants fat pigs.
Here is the advertising for it to arcade owners. Bonus for effort. Pig out for profit. Pooyan.
Sold. Catchy. Sold. I'll take 10. Oh, yeah. I'll take 10, please.
No, but here's the thing. This is just the advertisement, and somebody bought it apparently for $2,500 because it's out of stock.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What people do with their money.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
Yep. Anyway.
And it's just an ad.
Next game.
Dark Planet, which you and Jake have to talk about.
Me and Jake... Saw this at Zach did too. Saw this at freaking Galvin Ghost. And you remember this cabinet?
Is this you're looking through the little light scope?
You'll recognize it when you see
when
it.
I show you gameplay. So it's weird. It's like I kind of think it's a bit of a hybrid because they almost did this. They almost did this inside the cabinet. They built.
Is this the one with like they have like a reflection thingy in it?
Yes.
Yeah, this thing was funky. Oh, this one.
You're gonna remember it. Hopefully, I can show you the. They put a 3D model in the cabinet. And then they projected the game
down on it. Yeah.
Over the 3D model.
I do remember this game being absolute trash, but it was funny. Yeah.
You remember that, right?
It's interesting.
So.
Oh, what am I looking at?
Yeah, that's.
Fallout 1.
Well, that's a.
There's really no footage. So you look.
It's like a reflection.
Dude, you looked into the small part of the glass, right? You look down into the cabinet, bro, and there's like this.
It's like a pseudo hologram on it.
Right.
Yeah.
But like all of this stuff is built into the cabinet. And it's like a...
projection?
It's like a diagram or a diorama. A diorama of a moon surface or a Mars surface. Then they project the game onto it, but the game is a screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they almost... I think they do a Pepper's Ghost, is what it's called.
Yeah.
Onto that. So like...
I know.
Is that
not,
Pepper's Ghost?
No, I know what that is.
Well, the Pepper's Ghost is a little bit more of like a standalone... like a optical illusion, like looking like a hologram. This is more of like a top down projection.
Yes.
Where the Pepper's Ghost was more of like that that Sega that was like the first hologram or whatever, and it was so hard to look at.
Yeah.
Like it just gave you a headache. That's like a Pepper's Ghost.
That's a control panel, Chris.
That's a fun control panel.
Super dope control panel.
But I mean,
another rotary dial and way too many buttons.
Cabinet, so that's what you look through. See that?
Yeah, you look through that little slit.
The approach to the cabinet is what attracted me and Jake immediately. We're like, of course.
It looked crazy.
It looks beautiful. But then as soon as we played, we're like, this is junk.
Yeah, well, that's most games.
This is a giant waste of their time to put this out because it was just... so muddy to play.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That it seems interesting.
Yeah, I mean, well,
I feel
the game itself
like
just sucked.
Dark Planet suffers from what I believe is the Tron syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
The cabin is gorgeous. The approach is beautiful, but for me, I think Tron's one of the shittiest games ever
made. But the gameplay is
I mean, listen, Tron for me, you could squeeze something good out of it. It's just it's there's like two game modes that you could sort of squeeze.
The light bike one isn't bad.
Yeah, the light bike's fine.
That's you guys being nice about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, trash that game all the time.
Well, I think I've played enough Tron. Like, cause when I fixed the cabinet back in the day, I had to play so many damn games of it.
But so here's the control panel again. You have the speaker in the front and the grill there, right? And then you've got
Stop touching the screen. It's a touch screen.
Then you've got the advertisement of 3D, whatever.
Yeah.
But all that's lit up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can see.
So, the whole cabin is just glowing.
Yeah,
it's like
the coin door is lit up and stuff.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, no, it looks cool.
I just wish that the game was better.
You just wish that the gameplay was better.
And I think if the game was better, this would, I mean, number one, it's a rare cabinet now.
Yeah.
But
well, it's also probably hard to work on.
If the gameplay was better.
Probably.
Not only would it still be a rare game, but it would be a very sought-after rare game if the gameplay was
amazing. Do you know tech-wise, is it a projector inside, or is it like a glass that
it's a glass
reflector.
Yeah, no,
it's
there's a monitor in it.
It's how our Space Invaders
works.
Where it's kind of just projecting it onto a screen.
Okay.
But yeah, wiring that's got to be turning
happens. It's a raster monitor. It's a standard monitor.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this screen happens to have like a 3D model under it.
Yeah, well, it straight up has a 3D miniature. Yeah, it has a miniature.
So here's what they call
it
at Clav. The image from the monitor is reflected and merged with the image of an actual modeled terrain. So, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, just imagine trying to work on a plastic model during an arcade game.
Well, no. I'll tell you right now. You're not doing anything with the plastic model.
No.
That's fair.
No, there's no calibration or anything.
No.
It's just...
Yeah, it just sits there.
It's just a blown-molded piece of plastic.
If I'm being completely honest... I think if they didn't have that little thing and they focused a little bit more on the tank controls of it,
I think it would
be fine.
Yeah.
It would just be a souped up combat.
Yeah. Like,
that's all it would
but
be.
The rotator dial on it is great controller.
Another rotary dial.
Yeah. Well, was that, was it a barrel? Was it a rotate and a joystick? I think it was.
No.
Another rotary dial.
Oh, there's just a forward button. Because for some reason, I feel like I remember you can move it in any direction.
Oh, it's a rotary dial, and there's buttons.
Okay. Oh, and it's got the breakout dial, too.
Fire, thrust, laser, rotate. That's it. Yeah. So you have thrust to move.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's your tank
controls.
Much
like computer space.
Yeah.
Thrust.
Let's talk about...
Yeah, what's the next one we're going to talk about?
Cliffhanger.
Oh,
okay, so
even though
we
probably shouldn't.
We did talk about
Cliff. Familiar?
Because we talked about Cliffhanger
it's a Stallone
in our
LaserDisc
episode.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we did.
Yeah, we did.
If you want to chat about it, we can.
No, we already talked about it. There's not much to talk about.
No. But I want to talk about this thing that you said you wanted to talk about before.
Yeah, this one's weird.
Absolute hell.
I don't even know what's happening in this game.
I don't know what's happening either, but...
This is Great Guns.
Great Guns.
Released in 1984.
84. So Leighton Stern's
like the last year that they exist.
And then we had to look up the cabinet. The cabinet is two rifles, so it's a light gun game.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue Stern made a light gun game like
this. That's
fun. But I guess they made one.
This is...
I mean...
So it's different stages, Chris, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So when we first opened it, me and Chris first opened this, we were like, why is there a bunch of dinosaurs on the screen? But I think it's like 9 different levels. And you're basically just in random shooting galleries.
Yeah, this looks... It just looks confusing.
But it kind of looks fun.
Because I have no idea what you're supposed to be hitting.
I mean, it looks like an acid trip. That's wild, but...
Beating the volcano and the dinosaurs.
No.
Well, you're shooting like the pterodactyl.
Whatever has a target on it, you're shooting it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's
so like the fish and the pterodactyl.
I'll tell you
so whatever's got a crosshair on it, and see if
that might be fun though.
Dude, I can't even see that thing when it moves.
So I think that's You know, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, when it comes to light gun games, my biggest pet peeve is, you know, with something like Hogan's Alley, you miss, you know, once or twice, and that there goes your turn. You got to just wait for it to go again.
Yeah.
Something like this, you know, it's kind of just, they give you, a time limit? And they just say, go for it?
No, they give you bullets.
Or ammo. Yeah, you have a certain amount of ammo to hit all the targets, I guess.
That's creepy as hell.
Oh, that's nice.
That was kind of fun.
A nice clown that you're shooting.
And now you're in a castle. Yeah,
I mean, I think we should build this, Seamus.
Viking? This is like I Spy the game.
I want a good light gun game. Or just something that I could just sit there and mindlessly shoot.
Well, we have better ones.
We have Duck Hunt.
That's going to be this.
Duck Hunt's all right.
Well, we have the NES one.
I've never seen this.
I've never heard of it either.
No, we have to turn our virtual cop into this.
Oh, God.
I would do
that in a heartbeat.
Bro, really? Heartbeat. Virtual cop's a better game than this.
I mean, it's probably a better game than this.
No, I don't like... Scotland?
I mean, I think we need to make a time crisis.
Virtual cop.
Yeah.
I prefer time crisis. Or what I really want is the...
House of the Dead.
House of the Dead would be great. What the hell happened?
A siphon filter.
Oh, okay, that'd be fun.
That's what we should.
I remember it. Yeah,
got a full sniper rifle, and then there's a
silent scope
in the scope. Silent
that's
scope.
Pretty sweet.
Silent
scope. Yeah,
that's
silent scope is so good.
You know what we should do is turn our Revolution X into this.
We could easily turn our Revolution
that'd
X
into awesome.
Terminator 2.
That'd be beautiful.
Which
I mean,
way better than Revolution X.
Yeah,
it'd be better than Revolution X, but how much better?
What?
How much better?
So
though?
This is a weird one, dude.
Yeah. No, this is a weird looking game.
Oh my God.
Anything else
the hell is going on?
Chat about before we wrap it up? And one more game you want
well,
to talk about? Are you good?
Just pull up the last one they made, Super Bagman. I just want to see what they went out on.
That sounds
was
ridiculous.
Successful for them, so Super Bagman was just kind of like.
Because Stern has some hits, but it looks like they kind of went out with a whimper. You know, they came in with a bang.
Yeah.
You got Berserk. You know, there's some pretty solid ones in there. And then it looks like by 1984.
What the hell is this? What?
Super Bagman? Yeah.
Oh, it's about Alcatraz Prison? What? Bagman has escaped. Yeah. Police are on his heels. He will probably try to recover the gold bags when he has them and the key found in the mine. What is happening? He's at Alcatraz?
I guess. Yeah. Guess so.
Oh, he's okay. He's. I mean, this game doesn't look that bad.
It's not.
It doesn't look that good for 1984
this
either.
This looks bad, man.
But you have to look at.
But it looks okay.
Let me just take you back.
I mean, it's very Tutankham. I mean, I do not like Tutankham.
Can I take you back to Bagman, regular Bagman, the first one?
Oh, please do.
So
take me back. Take me on a ride.
This is where the classic starts. Is Bagman the first one? Again, I think this is 1982, early. Again, you're going.
Oh, this is the same game.
It's the same game.
Wow.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Same freaking game.
That's amazing.
And what year is this?
Bagman's 82, Super Bagman's 84.
So 2 years later, they just put out the same game, called it Super, and then went out of business.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. And then they went, you know, Stern Electronics went away.
You know, that's kind of sad.
Gary Stern, then years later, you know, buys out some pinball stuff, and then he...
Well, they still make pinball for a while.
Well, because he bought out another... I believe he may have bought Daddy's Pinball.
Oh, okay.
Don't quote me on it yet. I got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's why he's still... Yeah. He's still putting out pinballs.
Yeah.
Because he's a baddie.
Yeah.
And he's still kicking it in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, to be fair, that's what they started with.
Yeah.
So they sort of get into video games for like 6 years.
A hot second. Yeah. A hot second.
And they release some pretty good games.
Yeah, I mean.
And then they release Super Bagman.
The last 2 years, they release some
not so great
games.
Yeah.
Some trash.
Yeah. No, Bagman looks great. I think we should build this.
I would. Don't tempt me.
Okay. Well, before that happens, maybe in our next podcast, we'll be dedicated solely to Bagman and our endeavors to building.
Yeah.
Possible.
A Bagman and a Super Bagman.
Yep.
But that's it for this.
Don't get Puyan.
Of course. How could I forget? We're going to wrap this episode up. This was our episode on Stern. So that's it.
Buenos nachos.